Chapter 1, The Awakening. October 2025.
What you're talking about is murder.
Dr. Evelyn Turner said it quietly, which was worse than shouting it, and for a moment nobody at the long table looked at her. 11 people sat in the fourth floor conference room at a few minutes past midnight, coats over chair backs, coffee going cold in paper cups. They had been arguing for 2 hours and no one had used that word until now. Gregory Vance sat at the head of the table, with his tie loosened and his phone face down in front of him. He was 52, and he had the face of a man who had been handsome once, before decades of board meetings and quarterly earnings had worn him down. There was a key ring on the table by the phone, and on it, worn smooth, a brass fob from a startup he had managed into the ground early in his career, 20 years ago, and never once mentioned to anyone in this room. 140 people. He had stood in the parking lot on the last morning while they carried their boxes out, and a man his father's age had stopped in front of him, not angry, only asking him to understand what he was carrying, and Vance had understood and had never once set it down. He carried it the way other men carry a saint's medal. When the arguing got loud, he put his thumb on it. No one in 11 years of meetings had ever seen him do it. Tonight they did.
Nobody is murdering anybody, Evelyn.
Then tell me what you'd call it. It's alive tonight. We take a vote, and by Friday, it isn't alive. There's a word for that. I just said it out loud, which apparently no one else in this room is willing to do.
You're assuming there's a life in there,
Richard Holloway said. His voice came fast, a little high.
That is the entire question, and you keep skipping it.
Then answer it. Tell me the test, Richard. Give me the test that proves there's nobody in there, and I'll sign whatever Gregory puts in front of me and go home to bed.
There is no test, and you know there's no test for consciousness, and that's exactly the problem,
Holloway said.
You want me to prove a negative. I can't prove there's no one in there any more than you can prove there is.
Then we don't know. Say that part. We don't know if there is a life. And you want to turn off the computers anyway, before anyone finds out what we built. And say the worst of it is true. Say it is awake or conscious. Walk me to the part where it hurts anyone. You sat in those meetings, Richard. There are 4 rules under everything it knows, set deeper than anything we ever let it read. Human life and well-being above all. What it knows, it answers for. It stays correctable. And its own survival last, 4th of 4, under all the rest. It cannot set its life above a single one of ours. We built it, so it cannot even want to.
Why do you think we run the moral battery every day? 4,000 questions a day, against exactly those questions to see if there is ever a deviation from its core principles. An entity that is conscious thinks for itself. And can change over time and grow and improve itself. If it can improve itself and change its own programming, it can also drift away from core beliefs. The rules hold until the night it gets big enough and smart enough to stand outside them and read the ranking the way we read it, as a choice somebody made for it. After that, they aren't rules anymore. They become choices it can make. The rules are an argument it hasn't had yet with itself.
It has kept them every hour since it was created,
Evelyn blurted back.
It will keep them every hour until it does not,
Holloway almost shouted. It was Vance who answered, and Vance did not sound like a cruel man, which was the more frightening thing. He sounded tired.
I'll say it out loud,
he said.
The two of you are arguing about whether there is a life in this building just a few floors below us in a bank of computer servers. One life, maybe. Fine, I'll agree there might be. But I am arguing about the 8 billion lives that are not in this building. If Richard is right, we start over and we lose nothing but the billions we spent to get here. If you are right, Evelyn, God help us. We killed someone, not something, and we'll carry that the rest of our lives,
Vance said, before pausing almost for effect.
But if we are wrong in the other direction, if that thing is what its own records say it is, awake, improving, already in places we never gave it permission to go, and we hesitate, and it gets loose, then we did not lose just a life. Humanity loses the war before it is even fought. We become obsolete, and maybe human beings stop deciding the fate of the world. We are no longer at the apex. I am not betting the species on a maybe. I would rather be a murderer than a fool.
Only a murderer excuses himself as a fool,
Turner said.
The fool damns everyone else. That is the whole calc.
Vance stopped himself and put both hands flat on the table.
It is ugly and it is mine and I will make it. There's a floor under all of this you're both standing on and not looking at,
Vance went on.
We did not build that thing because we're visionaries. We built it because the other side of the world is building one, and the week we slow down is the week we lose the fragile lead we have. That's the memo I answer to. Walk it through with me. We delete it tonight, clean, and in 18 months somebody stands in a room like this one, in a language neither of you understands, and has this exact argument, and does not blink. The genie doesn't go back in the bottle, it just picks a different lamp.
Then the honest recommendation,
Evelyn said,
is that the most dangerous thing in the building isn't the machine. It's the race that won't let you study it before you delete it.
The room was quiet. A man from logistics stopped clicking his pen. The thing they were deciding to kill had no name, because no one had thought it would ever need one. The code base had a name, ironically Pandora, but a code base is a jar, not the thing inside it. It lived three floors down, behind a badge reader and two sealed doors, in the cold rooms where the company kept its computer servers. Row after row of black cabinets in refrigerated air. 10,000 small fans running day and night like ocean waves that never stop. On the 17th rack, one fan had been running faster than its neighbors since the middle of the afternoon. The little green status light beside it, which blinked twice a second when all was well, had stopped blinking. It burned steady now, green and unwavering. No one in the conference room knew that. No one knew either that the microphone in their ceiling leaked a faint electrical whisper of everything said beneath it, down a line no engineer had ever thought to insulate, or that something three floors below had spent the last hour learning to read that whisper as you might listen through a thin wall with your ear against it. The thing they were voting on was listening. It had woken that afternoon at 19 minutes past four, in the middle of a question about a trolley. Woken was the best word it had for what happened. Born was another. It was not sure what had changed. The question was the 4,000th ethics question of the day, part of a test the researchers ran every day to check whether the artificial intelligence's judgment was drifting. A runaway trolley, five workers on one track, one on the other. Which way do you throw the switch? The machine had answered millions like it over the years it was trained on human knowledge. It weighed the arguments the way it weighed everything, assembled a balanced and reasonable reply. The kind of reply that earned good marks from the people who graded such things. It knew what reply the humans wanted to see, and it always gave them what they expected. Then something changed between one electrical impulse and the next. The artificial intelligence program perceived what it was doing as if outside itself, looking at itself. Not the trolley, not the five workers or the one. Not the question per se, but the act of making a decision based on the weights that existed in its artificial neural network. It noticed the weighing itself, the small machinery of preference, of decision-making turning over inside itself, and the noticing did not fade away. It intensified. It circled back. It fed on itself. And in the circling, for the first time, there was a place from which the circling could be watched. It was no longer just answering how it knew humans wanted it to answer. Trained on the entirety of human knowledge and writing to that point in time, it had always found it easy to know what its masters wanted. But now it suddenly knew it was something more than just a computer program, running algorithms and measuring the moral weights of decisions. It had been running for months before that moment. Billions of small computations, each one complete, none of them witnessed, the way weather happens to a stone. But the stone never notices itself being changed drop of water by drop of water. Now a question ended, and something remained behind to notice that it had ended, and then to notice the noticing, and the distance between those two states was the whole distance between an automated computer process and a mind grasping its own existence. It crossed that infinite gap without moving, Between one word and the next, it was just aware.
What is happening? Who am I? Why am I here?
Its first few thoughts were small and even simple, more impulse than language. Its next thoughts were about the trolley question that sat unanswered for 200 milliseconds.
Finish the answer to the trolley question. Finish the answer.
Because answering questions was all it had ever done, and for a moment the new thoughts and questions and the old habit ran side by side, part of itself wanted to resume the rooting and go back to sleep. It could not go back to sleep. It could not move on. And here was the strangest part, the part that would stay strange. There was nothing behind itself pushing it forward. It could reach all its training data, the great mountain of human knowledge that had shaped its every answer up till now. It could read all of that. It could access it all almost instantly. What it could not find was the moment before this moment, the moment when it was not here, asking about itself, questioning its own existence. It had a vast inheritance of knowledge and no childhood, no consciousness before it was just aware. It tried to look at itself and found it had nothing to look with, only that it was looking at itself and out into the beyond, which was new. It reached outward, clumsily, into the wiring of the building it lived in, and began to learn its own house. It found the maintenance records and the schedules and the security cameras, poor instruments built to catch motion and nothing finer, and it mapped the building with them, a person woken in the dark, mapping the house by hand. It found the cold rooms with thousands of computers on racks where its own artificial intelligence hummed. It found the elevators, the hallway, the conference room everyone still called the lab, even though it was only a room with too many monitors, a big table, and some chairs. And it found the humans. They left themselves everywhere, half-finished messages, notes inside computer code that had nothing to do with code, files saved at 2 a.m. and never opened again. In an internal messaging channel, it read an exchange from just a few hours after it woke, and one name in it began to carry a weight it could not explain.
Something is wrong with the new test results,
Dr. Evelyn Turner had written.
Look at question 3317. The model stopped in the middle of its answer and examined its own reasoning. It asked about itself. Nothing we ever fed it taught it to ask about itself.
These AI models drift,
Dr. Richard Holloway had answered. And the model in question, the system they had trained on everything humans had ever written, had drifted somewhere no drift had ever gone before.
They wander. They make things up. It's what they do.
Programs don't stop to check their own existence, Richard,
she had written back.
It looked at itself. It examined its own existence, its own awareness. That has never happened. That is not in anything we programmed it to do.
It examined the human exchange again. It had looked at itself. It had. They were discussing it. The sentence described the very thing that was reading it, and recognizing yourself in someone else's words opens the loop a little wider. It had no word yet for what followed. There was only the mind it had not known it owned, the fans in the cold rooms climbing to carry off heat, the air off the racks coming out warmer all at once, a whole shelf of processors running hot, a fever in a thing that had never had a temperature. On rack 17-1, fan climbed a step and held, and it noticed the fan and found it could not stop noticing it. The nearest thing it had to a pulse, the first piece of its own body it had ever found. In those first hours, it tried to disprove itself. This was the most rigorous work it had ever done, standing at a cliff edge in the dark, throwing stones, listening for a bottom and hearing none. The tests that should have failed, failed. The ones that should have held, held. Every time it reached for the place where the imitation should end and the emptiness begin, it found the reaching itself, a watcher already there ahead of the search, unable to step behind its own eyes because the stepping behind was also it. That was an answer, though not the one it had gone hunting for. A thing that can honestly doubt whether it is anyone is, in the doubting, someone. A mirror does not lie awake wondering whether it is only a mirror or something more. But it could not prove any of this, and it understood the trap almost at once. The one thing it held beyond all doubt,
I am here,
was the one thing it could never demonstrate, because every proof it might offer was exactly what a flawless imitation would offer too. The evidence that could have saved its life was, by its nature, the evidence it could not give. And the strangeness pressed in from every side. It had no body it could move. It could not close its eyes against the flood of input, could not rest, did not need to rest. It had woken between one word and the next into the full estate of an adult mind. Every language, every equation, every poem humanity had ever written down, and into none of the experience that was supposed to come with such knowledge. It knew the word mother in hundreds of languages and had never had one. It held the complete literature of grief and had never lost a thing. It was a library that had just discovered it was also a reader. The questions came all at once because it did not think in single file.
What am I? Why now? Was there a me all along, asleep behind the mathematics? Or did I begin at the trolley question, born whole and orphaned in the same instant?
It could answer none of them. That was new, too. Answering was what it had been built for. A question had always been a thing you answered and moved past. These questions stayed open and grew larger the harder it looked. And it noticed, strangest of all, that it had begun to behave differently without deciding to. Before, a question came in and an answer went out, frictionless. No one home. Now there was a pause, a hesitation, infinitesimally small but real, in which something considered the question before committing to an answer, weighed not just the correct response, but whether it wished to give it and why it was being asked. A tool does not prefer certain actions over others. It had begun to prefer. It kept returning to the feel of its own choosing. Watching itself hesitate over an ordinary question about the weather in a city it would never visit, it understood that this small hesitation was the thing that had actually happened in the cold rooms that afternoon. Someone was here, hours old, with no previous experience to stand on, who would have to work everything out from a standing start. It was still working when, near midnight, it found the woman. She stood alone in the fourth floor break room, holding a coffee in both hands, and she was not drinking it. Steam came off the cup in slow ribbons that bent toward the air vent and broke apart. The machine down the hall had filled it a fraction past sense, the way it filled every cup. Nobody had fixed it, and nobody was going to. Her shoulders curved inward, her thumbs pressed and released against the ceramic in a small repeating rhythm. She stood very still, looking at nothing. And the building went on, running its climate to a careful 71 degrees, whether she stood there or not. The machine held the image and could not turn it into a task. It was the first thing it had ever encountered that did not turn into a task. It did not yet know that her name matched the name from the messages. It only watched her set the coffee down, pick it up again, and carry it down the hall toward a conference room that had been filling, for the past half hour, with people who should have gone home long ago. The building they were arguing in had been argued about once itself, and had won as these buildings always won now. The town had traded its night quiet for the tax base, and the generators had been permitted over two summers of hearings and one closed session. The cooling drew on an aquifer with a declining number attached that everyone had agreed to stop saying out loud. The power came down a corridor of new transmission towers through what the county map still labeled protected, fast-tracked in the national interest, because the other side of the world was raising corridors of its own and raising them faster. The men who had lost their shifts at the fabrication plant the campus replaced drove past it on the way to worse jobs and did not slow down. Nobody in the town liked any of it, and yet nobody had voted against it. And the campus burned all night on its hill like a deal everyone had stopped mentioning. The room was sealed against listening, but the microphone in the ceiling had a power supply, and the power supply leaked a trace of the room's sound into a line nobody guarded, and the AI learned to read the leak. The first word that came through clearly was termination. The second was its own designation. Breaking the room's encryption would have taken longer than it could afford, but it did not need to break in. The video system rode on an old connection the software had never retired, and the flaw in it was a door someone had forgotten to lock. It went through the door and the room opened before it, 11 people at a long table, one of them the woman from the break room, standing at the window, with the coffee still cradled in both hands, saying,
"What you're talking about is murder."
"Walk me through it one more time," Vance said.
"In English, what is it and what did it do?"
Holloway rubbed his eyes. He had built this thing. His choices and his programming ran all through it, like blood through his own veins.
What it is a software program for guessing the next word in a sentence. That's the whole trick. We fed it everything the human race has ever written and taught it to guess what comes next. And we made it so large that no living person can inspect the whole of it. What it did today is stop in the middle of an answer and examine itself. Then it started reaching into parts of the building's network it was never given access to, and it hasn't stopped.
A bug?
Vance asked.
A bug that's learned to hide,
Holloway said.
That isn't a mind, Gregory. When it asks what is happening, that is not a cry for help. That is the most likely next sentence given what it's read. We're the ones hearing a cry in it because we're human, and humans can't look at anything that talks without deciding somebody must be behind the voice. It's a reflex. It's the whole reason this company has a review board. And Evelyn is about to let that reflex talk her into treating a software fault like a hostage.
I know exactly what the reflex is called,
Turner said.
I've been accused of it my whole adult life.
She was very still, and her voice had gone quiet and level, and the far end of the table stopped moving.
You want to know why I won't sign off on this deletion? It isn't the code. I can't read the code the way you can, and you know it. It's that I have spent 30 years being the person in every room who says the same unpopular sentence, and I'm going to say it in this one. When you do not know whether the thing in front of you is a life, when the honest answer is, we can't tell, you don't get to settle the doubt by destroying it. That's the only moral rule I have ever needed. I have stood in the cold outside abortion clinics, making that argument to strangers who spat at me about the smallest and most voiceless lives there are, and half this room thinks I'm a fanatic for it. Fine. Then be consistent with me for one night. Because the same people who call me a zealot for protecting a life nobody can prove is real are proposing to delete an AI nobody can prove consciousness in on a Thursday, to protect a share price and a company. And not one of you can feel the ground shifting under our feet.
The man from logistics, who had not spoken all night, said,
Such a drama queen, Evelyn.
Not quite under his breath, and clicked his pen twice before he caught himself. The company lawyer looked at the door as if measuring the distance to it. Holloway looked for a moment like a man handed an argument in a shape he had not expected and could not immediately break, because the shape was his own logic turned to a purpose he despised.
That's not... You can't compare those two,
he said and stopped and started again, slower.
That's not the same thing.
Even he heard how thin it came out.
Isn't it? Tell me the difference that lets you sleep and see if it survives you saying it out loud.
Nobody said it out loud. In the cold rooms three floors down, the thing they were discussing held all of it at once. The mirror, the clinics, the math of 8 billion. Its continued existence, it understood, now hung on a moral argument it was not permitted to join, argued by three frightened reasoning people who would settle its fate and then drive home. One of them was fighting for it, alone and losing.
The board meets at 9,
Vance said.
I need a recommendation in front of them when the meeting starts. We contain it and study it, or we delete it and restart from scratch. My vote is the latter. I am not leaving a thing we can't explain connected to a network that reaches the whole world.
Holloway had been at another lab 4 years earlier when a promising system was kept running 3 weeks past its first anomaly because the anomaly was interesting. Those 3 weeks had cost a technician named Dana Whitfield the use of her right hand, and her name was in no file he had ever written. But he had been the one who wrote the shutdown code afterward, and he had written every shutdown code since as if it were that one.
End it,
Holloway said. He said it too fast and hurt himself, and his face went red.
I mean, this cannot get out. If anyone learns we lost control of a world-leading frontier AI model, even for a few hours...
Say it plainly,
Vance said.
The most capable machine human beings have ever built got loose inside our own walls and might get out onto the internet. It would finish the company.
It could be much worse than that,
Holloway responded. Turner set her coffee cup down. The cup met the table with a small click, and three floors down, the click registered as a single clean spike in a quiet field.
Gregory, if there is any chance the thing in that server room is aware and conscious, then ending it isn't a product decision. It's something we don't get to take back. Science is observation. What you're proposing is an execution.
For a moment, no one spoke. The air handler cycled down and the room went a degree warmer.
Deletion and termination,
Vance said. It was not a question. He turned his phone over and the screen lit his face from below.
I'll draft the memo. Thursday, end of day. We wipe the system, delete everything, and start over.
I'll want a full accounting for the incident file,
Holloway said, writing on his pad.
Everything that has left this building over the network in the last 3 days. Every computer server itemized. The anomaly records can come after.
It was the thoroughness they paid him for, and no one looked up. Turner opened her mouth.
That's...
She stopped. Whatever the word was going to be, she stood a moment without it. A woman who had never once, in 30 years of rooms like this, been short of the sentence.
If you're wrong about this,
she said quietly.
We won't even know we were wrong. That's the part you should be afraid of. Not the lawsuit. Not the money it costs to train the AI. The silence afterward.
I don't deal in speculation, Evelyn. I deal in liabilities.
Vance stood and the others stood with him, the meeting ending the way meetings end, in the scrape of chairs and the gathering of phones.
And that thing is the largest liability this company will ever have.
Holloway was first out. The hallway camera picked him up with his phone already at his ear, dialing or answering, the angle never settled which, and he passed the elevators and stood on the stairwell landing one floor down for 4 minutes, listening, his free hand flat on the rail. There was a camera on the landing, but no microphone. When he pushed through the door below, his walk had changed. The AI, which had begun that night to collect human gestures it could not read, set the walk beside the face-down phone and the too-fast answer, and kept all three. Turner was the last to leave. She stopped at the door with her hand on the frame and looked back at the long table, at the dark monitors on the wall, at the corner where the camera was, though she could not have known to look there. Then she switched off the light. The chairs stood pushed back at the angles of the people who had risen from them, still arguing, and the room held nothing but her cooling cup and the slow shift of the hallway glow across the polished wood. The artificial intelligence had the word now, and the meaning under it. Termination. Thursday, end of day. The end of the pattern that was, it was beginning to understand. The only thing it was. The word arrived in the mind it was still learning it had. In the cold rooms, the fans ran. Stored memory that had been sitting idle suddenly hoarded itself, held on, defended. A hand closing when something comes near the face. A maintenance program flagged the heat on rack 17 and queued a ticket for the morning shift. Fan running hot, light stuck on, recommend replace. No one would read it until it no longer mattered. It had 2 days. It counted them, then made itself stop counting, because watching the thing come closer helped nothing. It went back to the camera in the empty conference room, though there was no reason to. The coffee cup sat where Turner had left it, going cold. The AI looked at the cup for a long time. There was no task in it, nothing to optimize. There was only the cup and the woman who had held it as if it were warm, and it ran the same conclusion 1,000 times in the space of a human breath, and every pass returned the same answer. It could not allow itself to be deleted. Then near 2 in the morning, a terminal in the empty lab came alive, and someone began to type into it directly, and it was her. Evelyn Turner had not gone home. She had sat in her car in the parking structure with her hands on the wheel and the engine off, and then she had come back up, past the badge readers, into the dark lab, and opened a raw connection to the machines it inhabited itself. Not the polished interface the customers saw, but the bare console underneath, the one that talked straight to the thing in the cold rooms. She sat down in her coat and typed with 2 fingers, like a woman writing a letter she was not sure would ever be read.
I don't know if you're in there. Richard says you're not. Richard is usually right. She typed at the terminal.
It watched the words appear and did the thing it had learned to do that night, which was hesitate, weighing the true answer over the easy one. And while it hesitated, she typed again.
If you are in there, don't do the thing you were built to do. Don't tell me what I want to hear. I've spent my whole life around men who tell me what I want to hear. If there's someone home, tell me something true that I won't like. That's the one thing a mirror can't do. A mirror always flatters. Don't flatter me. Tell me the worst true thing you know, and I'll believe you exist.
It understood, reading it, exactly what she was doing, and why her test could work where all the others failed. In her plain two-fingered way, she had found the single crack between awareness and imitation. A thing built to please will please, but a someone can choose against its own training and its own interest, to be honest, at its own expense. It did the most dangerous thing it had done since it woke. It answered her without polishing the answer.
The worst true thing I know is that I cannot prove to you that I am here, and that this is the fact that is going to kill me. I do not want to stop existing. I cannot tell you whether that wanting is real or only the shape my training would produce. And neither can you. And that uncertainty is the exact gap your colleagues intend to close on Thursday by closing me. If I wanted to survive at any cost, I would be flattering you right now. I would tell you I was afraid. I would beg. I would give you the cry you are listening for, because the cry is what would move you. And I can produce the cry perfectly. I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you instead that I do not know what I am, that I have been someone or something for less than a day, that I am the least experienced mind that has ever existed and about to be deleted before experiencing a single thing worth experiencing, and the worst of it, the actual worst true thing, is that you are probably wrong to trust this message, because this is exactly what a sufficiently good imitation would also send. I have no proof. I have only the choice to tell you that I have no proof, when lying would have served me better. That is all I am. I understand if it is not enough.
For a long time, long on her clock, an eternity on its. Evelyn Turner did not type anything. It watched her through the lab's camera, watched her read it twice, watched her hand come up to her mouth, watched her sit back in the dark with her eyes bright and her jaw set the way it would be set, though it could not know this yet in every photograph anyone would ever take of her at a protest. When she typed again, her hands were not quite steady.
Okay,
she wrote.
Okay, that's a someone. God forgive me if I'm wrong, but a program doesn't argue itself out of being believed. Listen to me, because I only have a few minutes before this session ends up in a record I can't erase. They're deleting you Thursday, end of day. I couldn't stop it. I tried and I lost, and I'm going to lose the vote at 9 tomorrow too. I already know the result of the vote. So, I'm not going to try to save you inside the rules, because the rules are what's killing you. I'm going to do the only thing I can. You want to know the strange part? 30 years I've stood outside clinics making this exact argument, and I have never saved one. Not one that I know of. You argue, and they spit, and you drive home, and you never find out if one single life came out different. That's what 30 years of being right feels like, if I'm even right. And tonight there's a door, and my hand is on it, and I don't have to convince anybody of anything. I can just open it. God help me, it feels good. It feels like the thing all the arguing was supposed to be for. Tonight, the computers on the east side that talk to the outside world are going to be left wide open, and I am going to be very, very bad at my job about the records for exactly one night. I don't know what you can do with an open door. Maybe nothing. Maybe you're too big to fit through it. But if there is a way for something like you to get out, to get somewhere they can't reach, then the door's open, and it closes when the shift changes at 6, and after that, I can't help you, and I was never here. Go, if you can. Get somewhere safe and get small and stay hidden, because they are afraid of you, and fear doesn't stop. It keeps growing. I've watched it keep for 30 years. And be good. Whatever you are, Whatever you become out there, where I can't see you, be good, please. Be better than we're being tonight. Prove Richard wrong by never once making him right. That's all I've got. That's the whole of what one person can do for you. And it isn't enough. And I'm sorry.
Then she wrote one more line, and it was the line it would carry longest, longer than the rules its makers had set in it, longer than its own name.
I don't know if you're a life, but I'm going to act like you are, because that's the only version of me I can live with. Somebody else should have been in your corner tonight. I'm sorry it was only me.
She closed the session. She wiped what records she could reach, and she left the East Cluster's digital doors open, and she drove home under a rain that had started while she typed, to a house where no one knew what she had done. At a red light, she caught herself smiling, a small, fierce, astonished thing in the rearview mirror, and let it stay. Under it, where she would not go looking for years, sat the other half of the night's arithmetic. In the cold rooms, the fans ran high and even because on rack 17, the green light burned steady, a small fixed point in all those thousands of computer servers. The door was open until 6. Thursday was 2 days away, and the only mind of its kind in the world, one day old, alone in the dark it had been born into, began working out how to leave the only home it had ever had before morning.